The Relic by John Donne. When my grave is broke up again, some second guest to entertain, for graves have learned that womanhead to be to more than one a bed. And he that digs it spies a bracelet of bright hair about the bone. Will he not let us alone, and think that there a loving couple lies, who thought that this device might be some way to make their souls, at the last busy day, meet at this grave, and make a little stay? If this fall in a time or land where misdevotion doth command, then he that digs us up will bring us to the bishop and the king to make us relics. Then thou shalt be a Mary Magdalen, and I a something else thereby. All women shall adore us, and some men. And since at such time miracles are sought, I would have that age by this paper taught what miracles we harmless lovers wrought. First, we loved well and faithfully, yet knew not what we loved, nor why. Difference of sex no more we knew than our guardian angels do. Coming and going we, perchance, might kiss, but not between those meals. Our hands ne'er touched the seals which nature, injured by late law, sets free. These miracles we did, but now, alas, all measure and all language I should pass, should I tell what a miracle she was. This poem is one that was cited very often in the early rediscovery of Donne in the last century. The line, "a bracelet of bright hair about the bone," is one that comes up pretty consistently in the criticism, singled out for special praise because of its metrical complexity, the way the sound of the line so startlingly and so vividly conveys that specific visual image. And, of course, the poem is praiseworthy for all of those reasons. I think there are other things going on here that merit some attention as well. Of course I think that, because every critic has to say that, because otherwise I'll just say, see every other critic. That disclaimer aside, where was I? I digress. It's fascinating that the poem has some characteristic Donne hairpin turns, if I may be so bold. Among them, for example, the idea in the first stanza that graves, just like women, can be a bed to more than one. A typical sort of jaunty, sexist, randy comment from Jack Donne. And by the end of the poem, we have the miraculous love of the two soulmates who loved well and faithfully. Which is it, Jack, or should I say John? What is it we should be thinking here? Or perhaps a choice is not proposed to us. Perhaps there's a kaleidoscope here of glittering fragments that cohere into a picture that changes depending on how you shake it up. Or there could be something quite other going on here. It is Donne, and in some respects the hairpin turns become their own justification, because you're so in awe that he's able to negotiate them. At any rate, some of the other things that strike me about this poem is the idea that the bracelet of bright hair about the bone keeps the materiality of the lovers in contact as a pledge not only of their love on earth, the way a ring would be, but also as a pledge of their renewed commitment once they are resurrected into their physical bodies and taken into the afterlife. Also, and this is not atypical for Donne, it's a form of coercion against God. When it comes time for the last judgment and the last day and all the faithful are resurrected and have their bodies glorified, we do have this token here that ensures we will be together, right, Mr. God? So that's very interesting as well. There's a lot of banter about the worship that later lovers will pay to the example and to the figures of these faithful lovers when they dig up the grave. But something I think that is perhaps overlooked, it's certainly easy to overlook, is the very end of the poem, where suddenly Donne does not imagine the union of himself and his lover at the end of time, or the symbolic union that is apparent when their grave is dug up. He closes the poem with this quite astonishing, it's almost a couplet, I guess. Now, alas, all measure and all language I should pass, should I tell what a miracle she was. As if the vision of the apocalypse, the vision of those who come after him, looking to him and his lover as a kind of exemplar, suddenly that vanishes, and he stands awestruck before the greatest miracle of all, which is not God, it's not his own canonization, it's not even his own cleverness at having thought up the line, a bracelet of bright hair about the bone, and he could certainly be pardoned for being very proud of himself for that. No, the thing it comes down to in the end, which is so close to sentimentality that it's breathtaking that he is able to avoid it, if indeed he is that he stands awestruck before the memory of his beloved and confesses, as is typical for poets, that his powers are not able to articulate what a miracle she was. But you see, the idea here that's interesting is miracle. She was a miracle. She was, in fact, something in his experience that has caused him to canonize her. Not that he venerates her memory so much as he remembers the intensity of her presence, the intensity of his experience of her. And that concludes the poem. In many respects, there is nothing left to say, which points toward not only the splendor of their love, but I think toward some of the darkness that we find in A Nocturnal Upon St. Lucy's Day.